This is St. Louis Public Radio. Just after midnight, on November 1st in 1969, following a night of Halloween festivities, nine men were arrested on Olive Street in St. Louis. They weren't charged with vandalism or public intoxication, but with masquerading. The men were all dressed as women. St. Louis Public Radio's Emmanuel Berry shares how the Halloween arrest helped strengthen St. Louis's LGBT community.
It's the annual Halloween costume contest in St. Louis's Central West End neighborhood. All of the Halloween staples are here. We've got superheroes, vampires, and men in dresses.
Tonight I am Strawberry Shortcake.
That's Ron Reed. He's wearing a little red dress.
High heel shoes on and thigh highs with a garter belt. And a very short Strawberry Shortcake outfit, a wig, and a choker chain just to offset the prettiness.
Today, Reed has the freedom to cross-dress. But as St. Louis attorney Arlene Zaremka notes, about 40 years ago, his Halloween attire would have violated St. Louis law.
The ordinance prohibited any person from appearing, quote, in any public place in a dress not belonging to his or her sex.
The law was put in place in the mid-1800s, and its purpose shifted over the years. Zaremka notes that after the 1950s, the law was used to target the LGBT community.
Because it was on the books, and had been on the books, let's say, since the 19th century, the police could use this to harass gays and lesbians as they were starting to come out of the closet and become more visible.
Gregory Smith is one of the men arrested for masquerading on Halloween night in 1969. He says that evening, he was a vision to behold.
I had on a purple dress. It kind of looked like a Cheetah Rivera West Side Story dress with these little kind of ruffles on it and a blonde gold wig. It was done up like in banana curls.
Smith was with a group of gay men. Although some of them had never cross-dressed before, the group decided to celebrate Halloween dressed as women. Smith said they were leaving a gay bar called the Onyx Room when police approached.
They grabbed about six, seven of us, eight of us, that were all dressed as females and put us all in the back of a paddy wagon.
At first, Smith didn't take the arrest seriously.
And they put us in jail, and I'm in a cell with my friend Michael. And so Michael and I were singing and dancing around, "Let me entertain you, let me make you smile," from Gypsy. And then all of a sudden, this police officer comes over, and you could tell that we were like in more trouble than we thought we were. And he said, "If you two don't shut up."
Smith called his parents, and they weren't happy. But they came to the station and bailed him out.
I get to the processing desk, and the guy says to me, "Now I want you to take that wig off and walk out of here like a man." I said, "I don't think so. I'm in a purple dress and gold heels. I'm going to walk out the way I came in."
When Smith did leave the station, he was met not only by his angry parents, but also a crowd of supporters mobilized by the Mandrake Society. The Mandrake Society was one of St. Louis's first LGBT organizations. The group had just started meeting a few months prior to that Halloween, but it hadn't done much besides talk. The arrest forced the organization to take action. Not only did they demonstrate at the police station, but they also raised bail money and hired an attorney to challenge the charges. Stephen Brawley of the St. Louis LGBT History Project says Halloween of 1969 was a pivotal time for the LGBT community.
This case, it sort of provides this foundation that we now call St. Louis's Stonewall, where before everything was sort of, you know, quiet and there were bars and there was life, but definitely there wasn't sort of this organized effort.
Despite the organized effort, change came slowly. Masquerading remained illegal in St. Louis until 1986. I'm Emmanuel Berry, St. Louis Public Radio.